Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great champion on Tuesday. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. Elijah is still duct taped in studio training. I hope everybody had a wonderful holiday weekend, remembering those who have served and paid the ultimate sacrifice. Weather has been just flat out on Nebraska weather over the last few days between rain and the late evening and sunshine during the day. Got recharged, but the Tuesday after Memorial Day, man, you got to knock some rust off, right? You spend time eating barbecue and eating more barbecue and maybe going back for thirds on barbecue and time in the sun. So we'll get the old rust knocked off. A lot of great baseball this weekend. Nebraska, oh so close to claiming a Big Ten postseason championship, falling on Sunday to Ohio State 3-1. We can talk about that. How high are your hopes in Bricktown? Nebraska headed to Oklahoma City, familiar ballpark. We are jacked because at noon we'll be having a watch party for Nebraska and UConn down at Longwell. So we invite you down there. So a watch party this Friday, and then Hail Varsity Radio to follow right at 4 as soon as Nebraska wraps up with them Huskies. Excited for the show today. Mitch Sherman of The Athletic will be with us. Now, Bill Dolman's usually a Friday guy. He's obviously a Friday starter. That said, Bill Dolman has spent the last weekend, we talked to him last Friday, doing Big 12 baseball. He has got the lowdown on Oklahoma State, their Cowboys squad for 2019. So we'll talk to Bill Dolman in hour two. Also, Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet Time. Pizzo will give us his take on Nebraska as they advance forward. Numbers to get in, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Okay, that's the numbers, the email, chris@hailvarsity.com, and on Twitter, Chris Schmidt at Schmidt underscore radio, or Colton Stone at two birds, one stone. And with Elijah at Herbal Essence is where you can follow him on Twitter. Do so. Okay, what's on your mind here with Nebraska baseball? Are you thinking of the last 3 weeks where they've been put into position to have to win? Not only did they do that, then they delivered, but didn't deliver a title. Are you at the point as a Nebraska baseball fan where you're looking at the body of work or the one game? And I'm more of a body of work versus the one game. It sucks losing to Ohio State in anything if you're a Nebraska fan. The move into the Big Ten, that's the big dog. Not necessarily in baseball or even basketball, but that brand, they have carried the flag for the conference in football forever, right? And they've not been a slouch in baseball, but they're a four seed, okay? I mean, they had to win it to get in, okay? And that would have been the case with Minnesota as well. And it was an odd Big Ten baseball tournament. It was odd because you had your favorites bow out. I don't know if that's depth of league, probably. If the league's better than maybe as advertised, or if your top team is in the league aren't as good. We'll find out. I can look at Nebraska's strength of schedule and know that they're a good baseball team because of who they've beat. They've put it on the scoreboard, not just on paper. We'll spend some time on UConn, but I'm interested in your takeaway from the weekend in Omaha. Clearly, you're interested because almost 18,000 of you were at TD Ameritrade Park. Mm-hmm. Now, there's not much better things to do on 78 and sunny than go watch Nebraska baseball play, be it in Lincoln or in Omaha. I love this team's youth. I like what Spencer Schwellenbach's going to become. I love the fact that the guy had an injury, is back to his special form as to why he was recruited here. And I like the fact the kid cranked out 9 runs and hit over 400 in tournament pressure play. Jackson Hallmark, Gomez, Chick, Shaneman. I mean, my God, what Shaneman did was flat out fantastic. 3-1 could have been a lot worse, but it didn't have to be that way either. The beer being half full here, walk with me for a minute, or being half empty. And I look at Nebraska and I look at just the fact, and this is moving forward, just their struggles against left-hand pitching. I look at what Michigan's lefty did. I look at what Ohio State, Griffin Smith was awesome. Did he not look like a first-round pick? And it's not like Nebraska was helping him out, per se. He just made great pitches, moved the, and the strike zone. We'll get into the replay and the umpiring, too, because that's a favorite bitch of mine. Magan, also the relief play pitcher for Ohio State. Both lefties came in electric. They did their job. They held Nebraska to one run. Nebraska left 9 runners on base. Nebraska had the bases loaded in the 6th. And in the 7th, you had the Polinski play at first. That we'll talk with Pizzo about this. But I have a problem with having replay, not and using replay, but not getting the call right. Okay, they got the call right at home plate to make it 2-1 for Ohio State. As painful as that is, and as weird of a play it was with Polinski in right field, kind of double clutching, and then throwing a laser home, and then Hallmark getting it, and then just missing the initial tag on the chest. Great slide by the Ohio State kid. That's not why Nebraska lost. Not the play at home plate. Not the play at first base. It's the fact that he had the bases loaded in the 6th and you just got one run home. All right. It's the fact that you had runners in scoring position again in the 7th and the tying run would have came home to make it 2-2. But Nebraska struggled mightily to get the bat on the ball against another left-handed pitcher. That concerns me a little bit, but I think the narrative should be, okay, you had a month ago naysayers in line, torches lit to complain and scream about Erstad. This team and this coach have answered the call with what they did to end the year, with what they did in the Big Ten tournament. Now the next step is to go take care of business. You don't have to win in Stillwater, but it better come down to a one-run game, I'm hoping, for these kids. And that's they want to win it. But it better come down to a game 3 Sunday against Oklahoma State. I mean, I think Nebraska has a great chance of winning. They've taken out 2 of the Big 12's best already this year. Oklahoma State is not vintage Okie State with Peenan Kambilia hitting 7,000-foot bombs. That said, they're hot. They're 11-2 in their last 13. They won the whole bleeping thing in Stillwater, or I should say in Bricktown. So, and it's pretty cool. I mean, you're going to have a large amount of Nebraskans make the road trip, I think, down to Oklahoma City. So I think Nebraska's in great position. I look at this season as a success. I look at this season as a springboard for years to come with this youth, with this roster, with this talent under Darren Erstad. I just can't look you in the eye and say, yeah, they're going to be fine against UConn with a left-handed pitcher. I think the left-handed pitcher, and that is in their head a bit, and it could be problematic, at least in game 1.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you said the youth. You look at offensively, and I mean even defensively, they've got some studs that are freshmen and sophomores.
They've got guys that are going to be freaking
exactly
money.
I think what you'll miss, and you'll probably see it early on next year, and then they'll find a groove, is obviously the veteran pitching they have. But they still have a lot that is returning. They aren't losing too much. They are losing Waldron, right? And that's a big deal. You're losing your ace. But, I mean, you've got guys that are going to come back that will
Packard's money.
Exactly.
Did I say his name right?
Palkert, yeah.
Palkert, yes.
Yeah, so he's coming back. You've got plenty of relievers that may get moved up to starters.
I'd like to see them in that role.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, that's going to be key, but not shutting the door on the season. But I think, yeah, I mean, there's talent there. They could put it really together next year.
And they could still get hot, you know, down in Oklahoma City, too. The thing is, you know, they tripped up against Michigan, and then they tripped up against Ohio State, mm-hmm. you know, and the rest of the tournament, they looked great. Mm-hmm. Like, there weren't very many knocks against them because their offense all of a sudden just blew up.
It did, and there's two sides of that. One, they were a much better team the last 5 days, hitting with two strikes and runners in scoring position. They did a wonderful job of that. Also, and it comes down to youth baseball / college baseball, with Erstad being right, whoever screws up the least wins.
Yeah.
And Michigan threw the ball around against Nebraska in Haymarket. Minnesota had some errors, right? I mean, so Nebraska got a lot of their runs, not all of them. They had earned runs. They knocked mm-hmm. guys in. But Nebraska, I mean, for God's sake, 13 walks in a college baseball game? As soon as the ball is handed to your irate pitching coach or manager or head coach, it's time for you to start running laps in the outfield if you're part of the problem that allowed 13 walks. Yeah. That's inexcusable. Now, here's the thing. And as Nebraska fans, we've all been there where you are irate over a call that you think and did impact the game. The play at first base impacted a chance to tie.
Mm-hmm.
It did. The missed tag at home impacted a chance to keep this thing 1-1. So it goes beyond a missed call or replay. Now, you had opportunities to get more than one run across the dish.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't. And part of that's to Ohio State's credit. And you didn't make enough plays as Nebraska. And Nebraska will own that. Erstad stand up about that. The kids are stand up about that. Now, homeboy who was behind home plate, the umpire. What was that cat's name? I need to know. How do you get in position to be the crew chief with that strike zone? And I get that you're going to paint the black on the corners, mm-hmm. and Michigan's catcher was fabulous at framing, and you had Griffin Smith that was that good with where he placed his baseball on the corners
mm-hmm.
Against all those right-handers, either on the inside corner or an outside corner. So Nebraska was out of sorts with – they were to be aggressive, but like selective aggressiveness, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And it ended up costing them. I mean, Nebraska had between the Michigan game and the Ohio State game, there are a lot of third called strikes. And some guys – you know, are you bleeping kidding me? That was classic. That was hilarious. And sometimes all you need, you can extend the strike zone. You can make it taller. You can shrink it down at the knees, below the knees. You can work the corners. You're the umpire, man. You make the call. But have some consistency. And you just didn't have that on Sunday. And I think it hosed both teams.
Yeah, no, I didn't have a great angle. I was on the first baseline.
I'm just talking from TV.
Right. So live looking at it, there were plenty of pitches that I looked at, and I was like, I don't know where
you could just tell
called.
By the kids' reactions.
Yeah. Well, and then you'd see the next pitch or the next inning, and it's like the same pitch would get called the opposite thing. So it's like,
was that? You just called that
right
a strike on a 1-1 count,
right?
But you're not giving it to me on a 2-2.
Exactly. Yeah, and it, like you said, it went for both teams. There were plenty of times that I was like, I don't know where this strike zone actually.
No one does.
Is.
And as a hitter and a pitcher, you just got to know. You just pray that you're going to get some consistency. And I thought that guy was a joke for both teams. And it was a 3-1 game, and Nebraska at the end of the day didn't make enough plays. But they can reset, They can get ready. Mm-hmm. They got a filthy lefty coming up with Mason Fioli of UConn, a kid that was preseason pitcher of the year, can throw in the 90s, another lefty. And that is, you hope Nebraska is just going to be able to reset and not get in the back of their head, oh, damn, a lefty that throws in the 90s. But overall, Nebraska, what a fantastic year. You want hardware. Maybe they're close to breaking through in years to come, getting that hardware, getting those championships. But great job by Erstad and his crew. And he's got a good mix of seniors and freshmen and sophomore that really stepped their game up. I'm a little, you get beyond Fisher and you get beyond Waldron. What do you got? Do you go more with some of your middle relief options? Do you stick with Edens because he was kind of a mess against Michigan?
I know Gomez is potentially an option to get bumped up to a starter.
Okay. Do we have time for Erstad's comments?
Not this segment.
Okay, so we'll hear from Darren Erstad coming up. We'll hear from Mitch Sherman of The Athletic next. His take on Nebraska baseball. We'll get into some football topics with Mitch as well. Bill Dolman, the pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, spent the weekend at Bricktown calling the Big 12 championship. We get the lowdown on the Cowboys and Nebraska's chances. Rick Pizzo will join us. You're welcome to step in as well with Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Mitch Sherman's next. Talk to you in a minute.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Welcome back. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. And we say hi to Mitch Sherman of The Athletic. Mitch, how was your weekend?
Good. Got some grilling done. The Memorial Day celebration, and mowed the lawn, coached some baseball. It was really nice weather, and some thunderstorms too. So that's a lot for one weekend.
What did we go with for the grill? What was your choice?
Well, we had a smorgasbord of meats on the grill. Yesterday, I had chicken, I had some fillets, and then burgers, too. So it was a wide menu.
Well done, sir. Well done. Nebraska, Ohio State, let's go back to the championship game at TD Ameritrade. Tough one for Nebraska, but overall, a great final finish to 2019 for Coach Erstad. What's his message to his guys as they head into Bricktown? I'm wondering if the opportunity to take down a championship is going to mess with them, or if they're going to use it as fuel.
Yeah, I think you heard a taste of it yesterday from Darren after the selection, in that they're going to try to use that to take a little bit of bitterness into Oklahoma City. I think it's just really cool that they get to go play there. I understand that none of the guys on the team even remember Nebraska's history in Oklahoma City, but it's not just that great run that the Huskers had under Dave Van Horn and then Mike Anderson for a few years too, from 1999 to 2005. You know, the history in Oklahoma City is just very rich and goes back to the Big Eight days when they played across town, not in Bricktown. You know, I was there all the years in Bricktown, but not when they played at All Sports Stadium, and Oklahoma State used to dominate that thing. It takes Nebraska baseball to a place, back to a place where it really, you know, was in its heyday. And I think that's a great message to have to go down there with these kids. You're not going to dwell on the history. It's about this team. But remind these guys about what's happened in the stadium for this program. And it's been a launching pad for two College World Series, 0-2 that came out of Arlington in the Big 12 tournament, but 0-1 and 0-5 and you know, many other great moments. So I think they need to incorporate that into the message. And, you know, maybe that's just me being old and reminiscing about that city and that ballpark. But, you know, you could watch some highlights from what happened there. You know, it was a program that just came out of nowhere 20 years ago this spring. And, you know, kind of took the college baseball world by storm for a few years. So I got off topic, but I think that's somewhere to go when they're getting these guys ready. Otherwise, he's going to play that card that they left something out on the field on Sunday against Ohio State, and now is their chance to kind of redeem themselves. But they're coming off of three good weeks of baseball, and let's continue it in a place where you have an opportunity to win some games. And there's some guys who've come before you in these uniforms that have had a lot of success in that stadium.
Mitch Sherman's with us, The Athletic, Hail Varsity Radio. Follow him on Twitter at Mitch Sherman. Mitch, with this regional, the setup, I mean, do you like Nebraska's chances to get out of there? I mean, UConn's on deck Friday. They're really pretty salty. I mean, they look good on paper. And then you have, of course, Oklahoma State, the host team.
Yeah, I mean, you never want to get past that first game. I mean, obviously, if you're a 3 seed, you're not thinking about game two going into the region, the regional. But you have to win. You basically have to win game one to do it. So, if you and I want to sit here right now and talk about game two, I think that's fine. Obviously, you have to take care of business on Friday against Wright. It's a good team. It's not a name brand in baseball, but they're clearly a good team to earn a 2 seed. And you look at who UConn has beaten this year. Louisville won a series, and there's more than that too. So, as I get passed by an ambulance, and then Oklahoma State is going to be. I mean, they're not playing Stillwater, so that's nice. You don't have to go into that place. I think it's more friendly. There'll be some Nebraska fans that make the trip. There'll be more Nebraska fans that get into Bricktown Ballpark than would into the little park in Stillwater. But yeah, I mean, they're going to be familiar with that. It's cozy confines for the Cowboys to go into Bricktown Ballpark. They'll have a huge crowd advantage, and it's basically a home game for them. So, and they're a national seed. So any road as a 3 seed to get out of a regional is difficult. I think there are places that you could find it more difficult than Oklahoma City this week, but it's not easy by any means.
Mitch Sherman's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. The overall look at this lineup and just the roster, I know you're going to lose some seniors and you're going to lose some starting pitching, but for the future, and I'm not writing the season off yet, but I'm just talking out loud with the freshmen and sophomores Erstad's got and some of the young pups arm-wise that could – fill in. I mean, you've got a lefty talent in Perry. Sheneman is nice. Paulkert's got a year left, and you got Hallmark and Chick and Gomez and Schwellenbach.
Yeah,
and I also like what Polinski's been able to do. So, I mean, they were able to really in pressure situations, i.e., the tournament in the last 2 weeks. I think this team stepped up. Mitch, in such a high level, will they be able to carry that that edge with them moving forward?
Well, the big question is replacing the three arms who've handled your starting rotation for the majority of the season, or all of the season, essentially. So all the guys you mentioned are great pluses, but none of them are starting pitchers on the weekend or haven't been this year. So how is Nebraska going to replace those guys? And if you find an adequate answer for that, then yeah, I think everything else fills in pretty nicely. And that's going to be dependent on Darren Erstad and his staff continuing to recruit well. But I think they have a better foundation than at any point. Moving forward from one season to the next, if you answer that big question about starting pitching, they have a better foundation outside of that than at any point in the time that he's been there, because of the way that those young guys have answered the call this season, and especially the way that those young guys have answered the call late this season when they've really needed to solidify their postseason status. I mean, if you go back to before the Arizona State series, there was no talk about Nebraska being a lock to make a regional. Earlier in the year, it looked good. Then they went through a stretch where it didn't, and really – the young guys played a huge role in putting Nebraska back in a position where it didn't need to worry. It wasn't really on the bubble come Memorial Day. So that's a credit to them. I think it'll serve this program well next year.
Mitch, we'll get to football in just a second. From a mentality standpoint, is Nebraska, when they face lefties, is it the fact that Nebraska has faced the quality and caliber of lefty that's been the reason they've struggled so much, or is it that old baseball thinking too much type thing? Can they solve a really good lefty they'll see on Friday?
Yeah, I mean, in the postseason, I think that stuff gets even magnified even more. If you're in your head through the season when you face a left-handed arm, it's not something that you see every day, and it's a different look, and your left-handed hitters obviously are more of a disadvantage. And then you face it in the postseason, and you got a chance to really get yourselves in trouble at the plate. So they just need to have free minds going into it and not worry about what the trends are, if they struggled against lefties through the year. I mean, realize that the guy that they're going to face is beatable. It's not like he's 12-0. I think I saw his records 3-3.
Yep.
So clearly he's got a good arm, or he wouldn't be the number one starter for a team that's the number two seed in the NCAA tournament. So you know he's going to have a good arm. You know he's going to have good stuff. You know there are going to be a variety of things that he can do out there on the mound. But, go into it and free your mind and feel good about yourselves, and don't worry about whether he's throwing for the left or the right side of the plate or what he's doing. And, you can put yourself in a good position.
Mitch, last thought here, and we'll let you go. Thanks for jumping on. Richie Incognito, I bring him up because there's a lot of backlash with him going to Oakland. I know he's had a tough off season. I know he's played at a high level when he's been focused to do so with Buffalo. And I know you covered Richie back during the Callahan years before he was dismissed. Do you have a reaction to Richie, now a Raider?
Nothing other than just some surprise that, you know, I can't say, and I know he's been very good the last few years, not last year, but in the 3 years that he played prior to that, he was kind of at the peak of his self as an offensive lineman. But you just don't expect to see somebody come out of retirement twice like that, especially with the position that he plays, being that it's so physical and you're going to be going against guys who are almost 15 years younger than you.
Right.
Incognito's always been a physical freak. And so, I guess from that sense, if there's somebody who's going to be able to do it and withstand the kind of punishment that you take, he's probably as good of a candidate as any. And he's got a brain that works, I would say, differently than most people. Mm. So in some ways, I'd say, he probably relishes. Well, he definitely relishes the opportunity to go out there and just hit people on a football field again. But my question is, at what point does it just get to the stage where, you want to do it, you feel great about your opportunity to do it, but your body's just not going to hold up.
Sure.
At some point, that's going to happen for him. I don't know if it's right now at age 35, but it'll be interesting to watch it from afar.
Mitch Sherman, The Athletic, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, have a good week, and we'll look forward to catching up next week. Thanks for the time today.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Chris.
Take care. All right, Mitch Sherman, he went with the chicken, the fillets, and a little burger action. Good stuff for him. I am excited to run down Rick Pizzo in an hour, get his take on Nebraska's run in the Big Ten tournament, the lowdown on the Oklahoma City Regional with the host team, Oklahoma State with Bill Dolman coming up. A reminder, something's got to stop that motion. Airbags aren't enough. Seatbelts, they can do it. Seatbelts prevent excessive injury when your vehicle and your body need to slow down in a hurry. That applies to whether you're in the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now. Click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. More Husker baseball thoughts. We'll get into what Bill Moose told Hale Varsity about some Big 8 foes that could be on the schedule. And the Iowa fan that's now social media famous. That's on the way with Hail Varsity.
And we're back.
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Excited to have Sam Kelly in. She's with Madonna Proactive. We're 56 and Pine Lake Road, and I've told you a lot about Medina Proacta. I've been going there for years, and I love what they offer from a facility standpoint, the workouts, the classes. The swimming is tremendous. And Sam, you've got a great summer membership push going on. We'll hear from you about that in a minute, but also just the training you do with folks to get guys like me that are in their early 40s, maybe off of the tailgate bod into more of the summer bod. And we were just talking off air about that a little bit. Nice to have you in today.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. And I guess, yeah, you hit the nail on the head with Proactive. Not only do we have an awesome group of trainers, but we're able to meet anybody's needs. So the biggest misconception about us is that you have to have a prescription to go there. And it's for general population. It's for people going through therapy. It's for people after therapy and everybody in between.
The group you just touched on, yeah, I mean, yeah, everyone has an opportunity at Medina Proactive mm-hmm. to be served.
Yeah.
And when you look at just the strength and training facility you have on the first and the second floor, mm-hmm. it's great. You have a walking track up top, but you also have, I mean, that stair machine that is by the locker room always just looks at me funny.
Right. It just glares at you as you're walking by.
It says you don't want none of this. And I'm like, you're right. Your background a little bit and what you love doing and how you like helping folks that go to Medina. Let's start there.
Okay. So it started as me being an athlete myself, and I was an Olympic weightlifter.
Oh, wow.
And used to compete. And then, so I worked with a lot of athletes, but what I was finding is that a lot of athletes end up with injuries. So how do we prevent that? And mm-hmm. how do we do a better job of preventing that? And that kind of ended up leading me to Medina. And so the training philosophy we have there is we work really close hand in hand with the physical therapists, and which I really enjoy and like. And so my background is really strength and conditioning and those Olympic lifts and working with power athletes. But Madonna's opened my eyes to so many more mm-hmm. folks, and everybody's an athlete in their own sense. So just helping them along the way.
Routine's so important, and you're a trainer, and with your new membership, you can make changes for the better for so many folks when it comes to lifestyle and that routine.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we absolutely can. We can help anywhere along the way. We've got a holistic nurse on staff. We've got wellness coaches on staff that are also our trainers. We have a dietitian. It's literally all under one roof. So no matter what your goal is, we'll help you navigate the path to get there.
That is good. So let's use me as the guinea pig, because I'm going to see you at some point. So I get into more of a routine and a more steadfast, so I'm not getting laughed at by Colton and Elijah when I walk in and can't move my arms because I did too much strength training on one day. I got a year's worth into a two-hour session, right?
Holy cow.
Right, and it wasn't impressive, nor was it fun. But kind of lay out what programs you can tailor to folks schedule-wise, but also that they're going to see results. If somebody likes beer and wings too much, raise your hand, right? But how do you balance that out?
Yeah, and balance is the trickiest part and the part that everybody struggles with the most. And because when we're motivated and we want to go and get it, we're going to do a two-hour workout and mm-hmm. we're going to do way too much lifting in one day. But that's where we can kind of help. We can tack it back a little bit, give you the guidance, give you kind of a sample week and what that would look like. And then that's where the trainers and myself can come into play, where we can be that accountability point.
Sure.
Where if you're falling off the rails, then it's okay, time to check back in with Sam
yep.
or whoever the trainer is and get back on board.
Also, you have a new series this summer, Kids Yoga.
Yes. We've got kids yoga, and then we've also got young athlete strength and conditioning. So kids yoga, we've got two groups, 4 to 8 and then 9 to 13. And then the strength and conditioning program is anywhere from ages 12 to 18. So we've got a couple of different kiddos programs going on this summer, too.
See, and that is so key. I got a 12-year-old that's doing baseball right now, mm-hmm. and he'll do some basketball camps, and he loves going to Medina to shoot hoops. But they're at that point, 12, 13, where you're in that gray area of you're doing club sports. A mm-hmm. lot of them are, but you're not far away from freshman year or freshman ball.
Right.
And it never is too soon to think about, okay, what's a strength and conditioning program that's obviously got the oversight from you and the trainers mm-hmm. at Medina, that's healthy, but also, I mean, it can give you an advantage.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what we focus on. We focus on the fundamentals, and we focus on mobility. So we want to see those athletes moving well before we start putting an external load or putting that heavy weight on them. Especially as kiddos are going through puberty, that's the time to ingrain those movements into their system so they know how to do them properly, and then they're less apt to get an injury later on down the road.
That's so key. Know how to do it right versus doing it wrong, and then there's the misstep and there's the injury.
Yep, absolutely.
The Les Mills, I almost said Les Miles, but he's down in Lawrence. The Les Mills program, let's touch on that. It's core work, and it's what, 30 minutes?
Yeah, so we've got a new program starting in June. It's 5:30 to 6 a.m., so it's a little early, but we're looking at adding some evening times, and the program's CX works. So you use a band or a plate, and yeah, it's literally all core for the entire 30 minutes. And the core is defined as anywhere from your shoulders to right above your knees.
Okay.
So you may have some standing movements. It's not going to be all laying down. But yeah, it's total body in there too with a core focus for sure.
If folks want to make an appointment, see you, see other trainers at Madonna, find out what ProActive has to offer, cardio, strength training, just more of a get into that fitness routine. That's the first step. How do they get in touch with you?
Yeah. The great thing about our membership is that you get an hour and a half with a trainer as a new member to ProActive. So we want to get you started off on the right foot. And so we provide those assessments or those consultations as a way to do that. But if you're not a member of ProActive and you still want help along the way, we can absolutely do that. So you can reach out to our training staff or myself. You can go to MadonnaProActive.org and you can find the contact information on there and give us a call, and we can help you get started.
You know, and 56th and Pine Lake in Lincoln is where Madonna ProActive is located. The phone number is 402-420-0000, and it's awesome. And it is they have, I've touched on in the past, just the number of classes you offer. So if yoga is your thing, or if you want to do aerobics, if you like water aerobics, they offer that. The outdoor pool and resort area, I love going to that and just trying to swim outside if it's open.
Right.
And it's great. But I will, we're recording, and I will come see you this week.
So you're committing to it.
I am.
It's official.
I am verbally committing, and it's letter of intent day, apparently. We're a big recruiting show, too. So, yes,
okay.
I will need to just quit BSing and just get in and do it. I mean, because what I've been doing is good, but there's a next step.
Oh, yeah. And so, you could come and check us out. I'm doing a TRX class at 10 a.m., and that's a beginner's one, so starting out. So, hey, it would just be you and I. There's nobody else signed up right now, so we could take advantage of that.
you may throw me out because I'm probably not even to the level of beginner yet.
Whatever.
Yeah, that'd be all right. Sam Kelly is with us. She is a trainer, Madonna ProActive, and find her and her friends at Madonna. Great summer membership drive. Can find out more at Madonna ProActive. Hang on. We have one more segment to go. Hail Varsity continues. We'll get caught up with Bill Dolman and talk Nebraska down in OKC on the way.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
This is the verbal commitment has now been signed in blood for my training session with Sam. This will be good. Madonna ProActive, 56th and Pine Lake Road. We'll do the weekend edition, Colton, of Hail Varsity from 7 to 9 a.m. on Saturday. Talking about a Nebraska win, no doubt, Friday over UConn. And then, Sam, we're ready to go from 11 to noon before we head to Fremont for juniors baseball.
Yep, you got it. It's on the books. It's on the calendar now.
The smile and look in Sam's eyes right now, it's like... She's like, all right, man, I'm going to just wear this dude out. This is going to be good.
It's go time.
This will be fine. Uh-huh. And Colton right now and Elijah are inside putting bets down is when Schmidt's going to tap out and scream that I can't take it. With the choices you have with the workout equipment, you have free weights up top. You have the different strength training machines And I've seen bands and I've used them a couple of times, but the benefit to the resistance training, touch on that real quick.
Yeah. So the great thing about resistance training, it doesn't matter what age you are. It's going to help build up that skeletal muscle. So it's going to help support your skeletal system. You're going to be able to stand upright, breathe easier. And then that additional skeletal muscle will also boost your metabolism. So you have more muscle to feed. So your body's going to keep burning more. And so that's where the strength training can really come in, and bands are a great way to do that because you have resistance as you're pulling and then also as you're releasing it too. So you really have to control that movement both concentrically and eccentrically, or both directions.
Man, that's very true. Colton, are you a band guy? No, Colton's like, nope, I just wear my tank top to the gym and got 22-year-old metabolism and I'm fine.
Well, we've got a new strength area too, so we redid our first.
It's called the gauntlet. I'm kidding.
That's a good name for it, but we redid an area, and so we've got a couple Rogue power racks down there, so we can do some heavy lifting, and then there's a high-speed treadmill down there too, so we can dial it in.
The high-speed treadmill. Do you guys remember the old punishment treadmill with Bob Huggins at West Virginia? If guys would miss a class or skip a class or be out at the bars too late, and Huggy Bear is like, he hasn't even seen a treadmill since the early 90s, okay? He's a West Virginia basketball coach. But punishment is, what was it? Was it like 60 seconds? It might have been a minute. Whew. It might have been a minute on like level 10 incline and like speed 10.
That's getting after it.
That was your punishment, was you had to get on the treadmill if you screwed up outside of basketball as a student athlete. Huggy Bear puts you on the treadmill. And I don't think anyone could last on that thing for longer than a minute, where you just got to jump on and like hold on for dear life at tens across the board.
Yeah, sometimes with our speed and agility program, there's some puke that happens because people are getting
there's
after
some
it.
Puke that happens.
We have trash cans close by just in case.
That is good. That's Sam Kelly, and she is a trainer with Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake Road. Sam, it was awesome to meet you. Spend some time today. Got me fired up, and you're putting your hands together like, all right, here he comes on Saturday at 11. So that'll be good. I will report back next week. I will walk in, and we will start the beer and wing purging immediately. Too much barbecue this weekend, but I loved every bite of brisket. It was great. Sam, thanks so much.
Thanks.
All right, MadonnaProactive.org is where you can log on. Bill Dolman's coming up, and Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet Time, on the way with Hail Varsity Hour 2.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you. It's Hour 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, and Elijah Herbel is sitting in. He is still trading. We say hi to Bill Dolman, who is down in Oklahoma City. Well, maybe he's not in OKC anymore, but he's been doing baseball for the Big 12 baseball tournament. And the Cowpokes got it handled. The number 9 national seed, Tech, is the top team in the Big 12 with their national seeding, and a familiar ballpark for the Big Red on Friday as they get ready for UConn. At Bill Dolman on Twitter. Billy D, what do you know? How are you?
Well, I thought, it'd be great to talk some Oklahoma State baseball with Husker fans, given the fact that the two will be getting together here in the next week or so. So it's nice to be able to jump on and talk about the Cowboys a little bit from what I saw over the past weekend.
Well, yeah, and just lay it out for me here. The ability for Nebraska to go back to that ballpark, not necessarily for today's roster, but from a fan standpoint and a travel standpoint, I mean, it could be advantageous. Obviously, OKC's the home team, but I mean, Nebraska will have a lot of red in the stands, Bill.
Well, it's going to be a battle between the scarlet and cream and the black and orange. Oklahoma State fans will be there en masse. There's no doubt about that. The reason that they're not playing at Allie P. Reynolds Stadium in Oklahoma City or in Stillwater, mm-hmm. which is what we talked about all last week, and I happen to have had the Oklahoma State side of the bracket, so I called whatever they played four or five games. I didn't call the championship game, but basically spent my week with the Oklahoma State, and you know they were excited about being able to host a regional at Allie Reynolds Stadium in Stillwater. It's the final season for that famed ballpark. You know, that it's had, you know, so many great college players over the years, and Pete Incaviglia and Robin Ventura, Jeremy Burnett, Josh Holiday. But apparently the storms that have hit Oklahoma the last 2 weeks have just made the field apparently unplayable. And I think to a certain extent it was an easy decision for them to make because Allie Reynolds holds about 4,000 and Bricktown Ballpark holds 13,000. They seat 9,000 for their Oklahoma City Dodger games, but I will bet that place will be filled to capacity because Oklahoma State fans are probably already there lined up to go, and my guess is that there are Nebraska fans who are already starting to make their way down to Oklahoma City. I think it's going to be perhaps the best atmosphere for any regional that there will be the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament. Nebraska, I think to a certain extent, yeah, there's past history with that place given the early days of the Big 12. One benefit that I think Nebraska has going in, and certainly Oklahoma State has it as well, is that OSU is going to be familiar with it, but the fact that Nebraska played a couple of regular season games at TD Ameritrade mm-hmm. and they played the Big 12 or the Big 10 tournament there, and I really think that that's a big deal. Given what I saw this past week with teams that didn't have a chance to play at major league type facilities during the course of the regular season, it's a big ballpark. It plays big. It has a big league feel to it. And West Virginia, Randy Mazey, who was hosting a regional in Morgantown, they play a regular season series at PNC Park in Pittsburgh, and he said the fact that we do that helps us get acclimated to Bricktown that much easier. So I think the fact that Nebraska played its conference tournament just last week will give them a fairly comfortable feel going into Bricktown, and I think it's really significant.
Bill Dolman's with us, Hale Varsity Radio, NBC Sports, and Bill Dolman's the Pride of Fairbury, has spent the last week in Oklahoma City doing the Big 12 baseball tournament, a up-close-and-personal look at the top seed Oklahoma State Cowboys. Now, Nebraska's got to get by UConn and their dirty, dirty lefty that they'll see on Saturday, on Friday at noon. We'll see if that happens. Give us your synopsis, and I know you've been calling Big 12 ball, but your overall take on Nebraska. They just didn't have enough against Ohio State. That said, great close to the season. Aside from the familiarity we just touched on, do you feel good about Nebraska getting out of Oklahoma City's regional?
Well, yes and no, because I think you have to have a team that's playing well at this point in the season, one that fought its way in and not one that kind of fell in backwards, because there are some teams that probably aren't playing very well right now that are questioning whether or not they've got the right amount of momentum going in. Is Nebraska the best team in the field? No. Is Nebraska the best team in the regional in Oklahoma City? Probably not. But, and Darren Erstedt's still the coach there, right?
Yes.
Okay. they have the fight and the personality and the grit of their coach. And I think that goes a long way. I don't think Nebraska goes in, with this huge chip on their shoulder, and they've got to, figure out a way to muster some momentum and all that. I think that Nebraska is made up of guys who just like to work hard, play hard, and when they needed to play their best baseball, and maybe it wasn't the best at the end of the season, but they probably played harder at the end than they did at any stage of the year. And I think that's significant. And I don't think that they're going to go to Oklahoma City and think, well, we're glad that we got in. They certainly didn't do that when they got to Omaha. Well, we qualified. They fought from that number five seed. They got to the championship game. They won a couple of games you know, by dominating and taking away Iowa statehood. You know, they get to the final round. I mean, I think that Nebraska has a good amount of momentum and a feel-good vibe right now because they know how to fight and they have the personality of their coach. And that's one that honors, you know, what Nebraskans are all about. Play hard, work hard, and hopefully it'll all pay off. Sometimes it doesn't. But as long as you honor, you know, the culture of Nebraska, people should be pleased with, you know, the effort that they see. And I think that they'll go down there to Stillwater and will probably fight the way they did in Omaha.
Bill Dolman's with us, the Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, Hail Varsity Radio, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Bill, what do you see from this Oklahoma State team? And kind of put into perspective how good the Big 12 is this year.
Well, the Big 12 is the number two RPI conference in the country. And, you know, I think that TCU getting in was a tip of the cap to the fact that you've got the number two league in the nation and they're only going to get four in. But, you know, TCU played their way in with, you know, great effort. I think fans of Nebraska and Omaha love Jim Schlossnagel and the Horned Frogs. And I had them in the bracket as well. I had all three of their games with Oklahoma State. But the Big 12 is very good, and Oklahoma State's very good. They didn't look good about a month ago or so when they got swept at Texas Tech, but Texas Tech's a national seed. But after that, they went to Oregon State in the Corvallis and swept the Beavers, and they did it in three different games, and that was one of the marquee series wins of the season for the Big 12, the other being Texas sweeping Louisiana State, and Texas didn't even qualify for the Big 12 tournament. So they played well against Oklahoma. They played well and won two games against Baylor, knocked them out of championship contention. And then they went on and won the Big 12 tournament. This is not an Oklahoma State team that is it's not the old days I mentioned in Camellia Burnett's and Ventura and those guys, but it is much more of it's much more true to that history than a team that's going to win games at 2-1. They will live and die at times by the home run. It's a team that can score 15 runs a game. It's a team that can strike out 15 times a game, and it's a team that can do both in a game. They are offensive minded, and they can hit the long ball, and they know how to play that park in Oklahoma City. The wind will blow south to north, right to left, sometimes from the right field corner to the left field corner. And they know how to lift it out of the yard and get it gone. They're not going to hit a ton, but a ton of home runs like the days of the early '80s. Mm-hmm. But it will. It's a team that can rely on the 3-run home run and play like an American League style of baseball. It's not a small ball team. They only have one guy hitting over 300, and that's a kid named Carson McCusker, who's a huge 6'7", lanky outfielder. Not the fastest guy in the world, but he can cover a lot of ground. He had him in left field for the tournament. But he's the only guy over 300. They've got a center fielder in Trevor Boone, who is spectacular defensively. Has 19 home runs on the year, 50 runs driven in. He's a problem. Their catcher, one of their catchers, Colin Simpson, had a broken hand going into the tournament. He had three hits in Oklahoma City. All three were home runs. Mm-hmm. He hit one off his shoe tops and looked like a 60-degree lob wedge shot that went over the fence in left field with the wind. And then he drove one belt high, you know, over the wall in center field. So they all have power in their own way, but there's some with bigger bats than others. But Boone's very good in center field. It's a pretty good defensive outfield and solid defensively around the infield, too.
Is it batting practice, or is their pitching staff a little above average?
It's a good pitching staff. It's definitely a team. Do not be surprised if Oklahoma State, if they get through the regional against Nebraska, they could very easily get to Omaha and win the whole thing. That's the way they're playing at this point in the season. They got a kid, Jensen Elliott, that pitched in one of the games that I had, who was out with basically 2 years almost. With Tommy John surgery, and he turned in one of the better pitching performances of the tournament. And this is a league that includes Alec Manoah, who will be a top 10 overall pick in early June, and Nick Lodolo, who will also be a top 10 pick. And Elliott's performance on the mound for the Cowboys was as good as any that I saw in OKC last week. But no, they're not they're not going to dominate you. I think their staff ERA was, you know, well over four runs per game. I think 4.0, 4.10 or something like that. So they're middle of the pack, and they weren't, you know, they weren't the best hitting team in the conference, but it's just a really good baseball team that, you know, knows how to win, and they've got a great coach in Josh Holliday.
Let's talk regional numbers for Coach Erstad, and I think the job that, that Erstad's done has been impressive this year. They flipped the narrative on success or lack thereof in the Big Ten tournament. They finished as a runner-up, and that's frustrating, but no one's more frustrated than those kids finishing as a runner-up. And the close has been what the story is to me about this Nebraska team. The regional record is also a point of frustration for Erstad himself, just 1-6. Is the next step for this program to at least get to a Sunday winner-take-all game in a regional?
Well, I think that'd be great. But I think in this era of college baseball, and you're playing in, you know, the region of the country that Nebraska plays in, getting to the tournament is a significant achievement. So I don't think Nebraska should be, well, you know, put some type of undue pressure on Darren Erstad. Well, they didn't get to Sunday. They didn't get to a super. You know, that's a really tough thing to do. Just go back a year ago. You know, TCU got on a terrific run where they went to Omaha four consecutive years, which is almost unheard of. And what happened last year? They didn't make it in. You know, so it happens. And a lot of teams are finding out that when you might get a great recruit, you know, who signs on the dotted line and, yeah, coach, I'm coming. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden the draft prospects go a little higher as the spring goes on. And, you had every intention of being a Husker or a Horned Frog or whatever the case might be. But when the money comes in, you know, they're gone. Oklahoma's going to find that out. They have the top recruit in the country, Bobby Witt Jr., you know, and they were kind of banking on him as being the cornerstone guy for Skip Johnson and his program. There's no way he's going to, you know, show up in Norman after July or after June, because he's going to be one of the top five picks in the draft as a high school kid. So, you know, you get a program in position to attract great talent, and, you know, sometimes those guys aren't coming in. It's one of the problems that TCU has had. They had nine guys in the last 2 years that opted not to go to TCU and elected pro ball, and here they are scrambling to get back to the NCAA tournament again.
Sure.
So is the next step for Darren Erstad to get to Sunday? I don't think he looks at it that way. I think Darren Erstad wants to get to Sunday and they get to a super, you know, shock the world. But I think Nebraska, you know, fans ought to be very happy with what this program has accomplished this season. It could have very easily been number three in the league. In the seeding, I know it was tied for third. And they were flirting with first place, you know, the last weekend. So I thought it was a really good year for Nebraska baseball, despite some downtime and some guys with fake names on the internet stirring up some problem about a month ago.
Bill Dolan.
I'm glad Nebraska played with the middle finger up at whoever those anonymous people are and got to where they are today.
They did well, and it'll be a good time down in Oklahoma City, as Nebraska and UConn, and hopefully a date with Oklahoma State on Saturday. Bill Dolman saw the Cowboys, saw the Big 12 all weekend, and previewing the Cowboys for us here on Hail Varsity Radio at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Billy D, we may check in with you at the end of the week again, bud.
All right, I'll pencil you in.
All right, man. Ink. Thank you. Appreciate it. Cool. Take care.
God be great.
There he is. Pride of Fairbury's Bill Dolman. So, yeah, Billy D, when he was talking to us Friday, was down in Oklahoma City. And who's you guys back in the studio? You've been to Bricktown, haven't you? No? Neither of you? Oh, it's cool. Now, we were there. We took Junior to a Thunder game when they had Durant. So he has seen Bricktown. I took him to McDonald's, took him to Durant's restaurant while it was still open. And yeah, it's a great region right next to the old ballpark. And I mean, that was a party time all those years in the Big 12. We'll run down Rick Pizzo and get a Big 10 buffet. That's next. Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Big Ten buffet time, and he's got his eye black and pine tar and He's ready. Rick Pizzo with us at BTN. Rick Pizzo. Rick, busy weekend in the Big Ten. Ohio State over Nebraska. Five teams getting the nod to advance on to the NCAA tournament. What's your thought on five in for the Big Ten? Let's start there.
Well, it's more than I expected. Obviously, nobody saw Ohio State emerging as a seven seed, a team that didn't even know they were going to get to Omaha until the final day of the regular season, running through the bracket. They had timely hitting, just enough pitching, terrific performance out of the bullpen by Andrew Magno, the most outstanding player in their closer, who got 17 outs on Championship Sunday. Unheard of for a closer to do that. As a league, the league knew Indiana and Illinois were in pretty much all along. Michigan finished strong enough. I think that win over Illinois in the second round of the tournament saved their season, and then they did enough after that to get in, including that split against Nebraska. And you got to give the Huskers a ton of credit. They went through that three-week span where they lost two of three, including two of three to Northwestern, and at that point, their tournament hopes were very dicey, iffy at best, to finish by winning two of three against Arizona State, two of three against Michigan, and then getting to the championship game. I think Darren Erstad has to feel really comfortable and confident about his team, especially their bats heading into the NCAA regionals.
The bats were able to come alive, and Nebraska bounced back on Saturday night to get a chance to move on for Sunday against Michigan after Michigan just blew up Nebraska. Let's go to Sunday's game and Ohio State, the 3-1 victory. I thought what Nebraska was able to get first out of Aldrin and then out of Shanahan was extremely impressive. Paulkert was huge with 91 pitches against Michigan. So some guys that have had good seasons really stepped up in the moment. The thing that Nebraska fans can be frustrated with, and I know Coach Erstad is, leaving nine runners stranded against Ohio State. Magano, as you mentioned, was just on fire. Smith was incredible for Ohio State. And you had some feedback and some outcry from Nebraska fans on social media with the replay, specifically with Polinsky.
Yeah, well, I'll address both the replays because I heard some complaining about the overturn that gave Ohio State the run at home, and I think that tag was missed. I think that was the correct call. I replied to a ton of Husker fans on Twitter who were trying to show screenshots, absolutely believing that the wrong call was made and that the uphold of that call was also incorrect. I think whatever was called in the field is going to stand. There's no question about it. I think probably the runner was safe, but it's a bang-bang play, and I never saw, and if someone can show me a clip that shows clear evidence that the runner's foot was on the bag before the ball is in the mitt, then I stand corrected. I saw a lot of clips that told me I think that's the case, but I didn't see one that wasn't blurry, that didn't show exactly what needed to be shown. So I understand that there was outcry. I think it's less about that one play and more about the runners left in scoring position in the championship game. And you made a great point. Griffin Smith and Andrew Magno simply pitched a fantastic game. And sometimes you are going to run into pitchers who have their best games. That's why these scenarios in almost every situation in the postseason are double elimination. And that's why I saw enough from Nebraska offensively to believe in another double elimination situation in the region. They have a legitimately good chance.
They do, and Nebraska is going to a familiar place. Now, it's been since 08 since Nebraska has been in Bricktown in the postseason, but you had lots of red at TD Ameritrade Park. I think you'll find lots of red on their way down to Oklahoma City for Friday against UConn. Size up Nebraska against UConn and maybe either Harvard or Oklahoma State. Is this a winnable regional for Nebraska?
I actually think it is. I looked at all the Big Ten regionals, and I think some are pretty tough. I mean, you know, you look at off on the surface, well, Michigan is, you know, only has one of the lower national seeds against Oregon State, one of the toughest places to play. I think that's a really difficult regional. I think Illinois, Indiana have legitimate opportunities. I like Nebraska's regional. I truly do. And I know that Okie State's a pretty hot team, but again, that's moved, right? Almost all of these regionals are at a home stadium. this is not at a home stadium because of all the weather issues, and it's where the Big 12, if I'm not mistaken, baseball tournament was played.
Yep.
So you have the chance to bring your home crowd, and you made a great point because Big Red travels like no other fan base in this country, and it's not just about football. It's not just about basketball. It's about all sports, and I think this is a huge break for them. Clearly, they would still be the quote-unquote road team, but it's not like you were in a hostile environment like you would be if you were in Stillwater. So I think that's a huge help. I think that Nebraska didn't have to go too deep into that pitching staff pitch-wise on Sunday, and I think that is also a huge help for this team because, you know, you didn't have to do that quick turnaround like some of the other teams had to do, and Minnesota and Ohio State had to play early on Sunday. Nebraska didn't have that, and I think that allows you, much like the setup with Waldron on Sunday, it didn't turn out to be a win, but much like that setup, now Darren can sit back and he can set up the staff exactly how he wants it heading into the weekend. And I think it's a really important factor for a team which is not the home team and not the favorite in any regional.
Rick Pizzo's with us talking Big Ten baseball as the NCAA regionals get rolling on Friday. Big Ten Network at BTN. Rick Pizzo's where you follow him on Twitter. The question I have, Rick, about Nebraska is their offense against lefties, and UConn's got one that isn't great record-wise, but he can hit low to mid-90s on the gun. And can Nebraska find any stroke against left-hand pitching moving forward?
Yeah, obviously, Andrew Magno, as a lefty right. coming out of the pen, really silenced them. But I think sometimes you can learn from those lessons. And I think the key is not just getting runners home, and obviously the 9 runners left on base and a ton in scoring position in that game against Ohio State. But you get into the pen. That's what you have to do. And I know you could argue with me and say, well, that's what they did against Ohio State. They got Magno out of the bullpen in the 6th. He's one of the best closers in the Big Ten, and he's a guy who can go that deep. Most closers can't go that deep. Most relievers can't throw 60, 70 pitches. He threw something like 90 over the course of that day. So I still think the key is to get runners on base. And I do like the approach that Nebraska has taken. I watched a lot, and you could see Darren Erstad telling his hitters to be selectively aggressive. There were a couple of spots. I think he was talking to Angelo Altavilla at one point, basically saying, stay in that box and swing at anything that's close. Like, I want guys on base, but I also want us to feel like we are hitting the baseball hard because that's contagious. And that's what you have to do, especially in the game against UConn, because when you face the better team, when you face, hopefully, in the winner's bracket, if you get a chance to face Oklahoma State, you're going to have to make the most of those opportunities. I think a game against UConn where you can be considered the favorite, it's your opportunity to get up there and start being really aggressive with the bats. And when somebody hits, it seems like everybody hits in that Nebraska dugout. And that's what you need in game one, because that kind of mow, that can carry over into game two.
Rick, before we get you out of here, and thanks for a few minutes, know it's a busy day for you. What'd you make of Nebraska and Michigan's shenanigans, specifically with Altavilla on second base?
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I like Angelo as a player. I think that some of his post-play behavior is, it's bordering on the line of gamesmanship and poor sportsmanship. You're going to get tagged sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, guys are going to hold the glove on you for a little bit to see if something happens, if you lift your foot up. This is baseball. Like, not everything's going to go perfect. And I feel like we have had situations with Altavilla in the past, the bat flip that got him benched, you know, by Darren Erstad. And he plays with a swagger. He plays with an edge. I think that's part of what makes him him. But I also think that there are some unwritten rules in baseball, right? You hear that about that sport more than any other. And I like them because it's part of what makes baseball pure and classic. And I think that he probably said a couple of things that he shouldn't have said and things that I understand. And if they were taken that way by Michigan, obviously we'll never know exactly what the exchange was between him and Jack Blomgren. But listen, he is a guy that gets under your skin. He got underneath Michigan's skin. You can get underneath people's skin without being a bad sport. And I hope that's a lesson that he learns moving forward, because I think he's a terrific ball player.
He is really heated up from a defensive standpoint. He's always been tremendous. Bat-wise, the last 3 weeks, he's had the senior season he wants. If you were to give me your coach of the year in Big Ten baseball, who would get that honor?
Well, man, I mean, it's hard not to pick Greg Beals because Ohio State did what they did, but that's really based on a week, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they were the seventh seed. I mean, they almost didn't get into this tournament. I honestly probably think it's Jeff Mercer at Indiana who stepped into a really tough spot. I mean, when you are taking over a program from guys like Chris Lemonis and Tracy Smith before you, who elevated Indiana to being a program that annually is in the mix to get into the NCAA tournament, annually the favorite to win the conference, that's not easy. And this team has lost a ton over the last couple of years. He developed Andrew Saulfrank into the Big Ten Pitcher of the Year, he and that staff. He was able to manage and juggle that lineup. They played a pretty tough non-conference schedule. They had a bunch of injuries they had to deal with. I think it's probably Jeff Mercer, but I think that Darren Erstad will get a nod. I think that Dan Hartlib at Illinois did a terrific job also dealing with some injuries. I think all those guys did a great job, but if I was going to vote today, I think Mercer, based on the situation and the expectations now in Bloomington to go on and win the regular season title the way that they did, I think he would get my vote.
It's one thing to inherit a lot of talent. He's maintained it, and he's maintained Indiana at a high level. Last thought here, Rick, from a recruiting standpoint and just vicinity to talent, what program is the richest right now? Is it Illinois? Is it Indiana? What area do you think has the best pop for baseball?
Yeah, I think it's Indiana right now just because of what has happened over the past decade, the fact that they made a College World Series appearance, the fact that you have guys like Kyle Schwarber very visibly in Major League Baseball. You know, Sam Travis has been up and down a little bit. Again, Indiana guy, you know, local guy to the area, to Chicago area, and then you can recruit in those kind of areas. And I think you're also far enough south that you can go into those, you know, northern southern communities, if that makes any sense, and maybe grab a guy or two who can't go to the SEC. But I will also tell you that I think that Maryland is a program that's on the rise, and they're one to watch for a lot of the same reasons, and a lot of money is going into that program right now because they have all that Under Armour money that is not just being spent on football and basketball. I think that's a program that's going to get a lot better over the next couple of years as well.
Rick, have a great rest of your week. Thanks for the time today, bud.
Thanks, Chris. It's always great to catch up, my friend.
A lot of stuff from the buffet man, Mr. Rick Pizzo. Good stuff on Altavilla. And that was a subplot for a lot of the weekend. We'll talk Mr. Richie incognito. Thoughts on him to Oakland next.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt and Colton Stone. Elijah Herbel sitting in as well. Good stuff from Bill Dolman, and big thanks to Rick Pizzo. You can email us, chris@hailvarsity.com, at Two Birds, One Stone for Colton Stone, at Herbal Essence for Elijah. You can follow me, Chris Schmidt, on Twitter, at @Schmidt_radio. You can find Rick Heyman. Let me tell you about this, and maybe you are in the market for a new watch for Father's Day. Maybe you're a recent grad, and it's time to bling out a little bit before that big interview. And above all, in-store coupons are an option for you at Sauter Heyman. Interest-free financing available. And you can go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman today through June 16th. And when you spend $350 or more, you get $75 off any purchase. Locations aplenty for you. 12th and O downtown, Lincoln South Point Pavilion in Lincoln around West in Grand Island. Log on today, sauterheyman.com. Yay or nay? How many Raider fans do you know? Are you one? It's okay. I'm not here to judge. I run with two or three folks that they like them some Raider football. And I won't lie to you. This weekend, after the Nebraska game Friday, I watched me a little NFL Network, and they had their A Football Life on Ken Stabler. Loved it. Loved it. I loved the 70s Raiders teams with Madden. Not so much a Raider fan any other time in my life, but I got a kick out of them. So let's talk about Nebraska, and some of us still claim Richie. I thought Richie was a hell of a player at Nebraska. So Richie Incognito is wearing silver and black. And there's uproar because Mike Mayock said that not everyone can be a Boy Scout. Okay? That's true. What do you want if you're the Oakland Raiders? Well, you want to get out of Oakland and get to Vegas as soon as possible. Still got to be patient with that. But you have John Gruden making his return to the black hole. Mm-hmm. You have Mike Mayock that's checked in his $800 tie and picked up and drafted. And John Gruden has won. He has won in Oakland. He has won in Tampa. And he has won with defense, and he's built rosters a certain way. He's also been out of football for 5 to 6 years in the Monday Night Football booth, okay? Gruden's name value now to guys your age, Colton and Elijah, is what he did on camera with, you know, Gruden's quarterback camp, mm-hmm. or what he did on Monday night versus remembering him as a failed coach.
Well, I think that, yeah, the earliest thing I remember would be that Tampa Super Bowl.
Right, but so, that's like the edge yeah. of the cliff.
Yeah, that's one end of the spectrum.
Right.
Yeah.
And the team that won it in Tampa's, it won it with defense, mm-hmm. right? And that was just how they did it. And they had a favorable matchup because it was his old squad. Not taking away how good a coach he is.
Right.
But he won a Super Bowl. So let's go to Richie Incognito. Do you have a problem with him making this move? And Richie Incognito is going to be 36. Richie Incognito, in my opinion, still has plenty of miles left to put on the odometer because, I mean, the guy has been suspended for a year with the whole Jonathan Taylor thing. He retired last year, was phenomenal in Buffalo, and every time you've bet against Richie Incognito, he's had a Pro Bowl season in the NFL. And he is a fantastic talent, and quite frankly, he is the right mentality you want to have on an offensive line to push a defense and to push a culture. Now, you may scream at me for saying that, but you got to be a badass on the offensive and defensive line. Richie Incognito is one of those guys that makes the rest of your team tougher. And that's mm-hmm. why you bring him in. And you get him because he can still play ball. He can still be great. And you can scream about, well, I mean, look at his off-the-field issues. Does Richie Incognito have some problems?
Yes.
Yes. Does Richie Incognito need some help with coping? Yes. I've got two or three people I'm close with that I talk to on all things Richie Incognito because they were close to him mm-hmm. while he was at Nebraska, okay? And Richie's first and foremost, and don't make any bones about it, he is an all-pro at his position. Mm-hmm. So he is as good as it gets. He's elite. Does he still have that ability? We'll see at 36. That's the question to me.
Yeah.
Secondly, when Richie's been locked in, when he was with Miami doing well, great. When he was in Buffalo doing well, football has structure for him in life. Don't have any answer for you as to why he lost his mind at a gym and threw a barbell at somebody mm-hmm. where he had to be involuntarily put into a psych ward. Okay. Richie's got some anger issues. Richie's got some demons. Don't have any idea why he lost his mind and tried to decapitate his father's corpse. Want that and threaten people at an Arizona mortuary. Big Richie and Little Richie, that was his dad. Super, super, super tight. And it was very challenging, to say the least, to him. I'm not making excuses. I'm telling you my take.
Right.
So that's not how you handle it. You get Richie Incognito back into some structure, he'll be a success. And I think Richie Incognito, deep down, and you don't have to dig that deep, is a guy that cares. He has pride. And I love this move for Oakland. and it's going to slap around guys that are loose cannons, but Pro Bowlers like Vontaze Burfict. Don't kid yourself, man. Richie Incognito and Vontaze Burfict are probably dropping gloves right now. And it will make Vontaze Burfict more of a accountable football player. He's a Pro Bowler, but is he going to try and break everyone's jaw over the middle again, or is he going to get called out for some BS? No one's called Vontaze Burfict out before in his career. Richie Incognito will do that as long as he can make the roster. Antonio Brown. I mean, that sideshow and production, God, it's a double-edged sword, right? Richie Incognito is one of these guys that can hold others accountable as long as he stays accountable himself, and that sit down with Gruden and Incognito and Mayock happened. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been signed. It's a total risk-reward. All the risk is on Richie's part, and the reward's there, too, for Richie. And I think he'll be fine. I wouldn't be surprised to see him in another Pro Bowl next year, and he's the exact personality, whether you disagree with him or not, that Oakland needs to have as they're forming. Now, it's been different a different narrative. I mean, Oakland's changed their path three or four times since Gruden and Mayock's taken over, be it the draft, be it free agency, be it team chemistry. When it comes to character is what they went after first. That's all well and good, but then I have a bigger problem with the Vontaze Burfict signing than I do Richie Incognito from a character standpoint. We'll wrap up a Tuesday back from the holiday week. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time tomorrow. It's going to be a Wednesday with Charlie. Coach McBride will join us. Great stuff on Nebraska baseball today. Mitch Sherman, Bill Dolman, Rick Pizzo, and Colton Stone, and Elijah Herbal, Chris Schmidt. Thanks for spending your day back from the holiday with us. So the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, our resident out in Vegas, sent me this weekend about a prop bet. So think about this. And the odds are 3-2, right? And it's a prop bet where your college football three-way championship. So you can place your bets as follows here, and your odds are 3-2. Bama, Oklahoma, Ohio State.
Okay.
Or a 7-5 wager is Clemson, Georgia, Michigan. Or you take the field.
Give me the field.
The field's 14-5. 12-5 odds, the opening line, the current line, 14-5. So you're telling me that Alabama won't qualify.
What I'm saying is, well, because you have to get all three right to win it, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So I don't think Ohio State's making a playoff, and I don't think Michigan's making a playoff.
So you don't like the fact that Ohio State's lumped in with Bama?
Correct.
You don't like that Michigan's lumped in with Clemson?
Correct.
So, I don't think Oklahoma's going to get in. I don't think Oklahoma's going to get in with their schedule. And yeah. Jalen Hurts, if they ask him to throw the ball 60 times a game, they're screwed. If they ask him to run 60 times a game, they have a better shot.
Yeah. I think that's the thing is neither grouping is you look at and go, well, one of those teams is a bad pick. But all three together aren't great picks, I feel like. If it was like Bama, Clemson, and Georgia, yeah, well, take my money.
Yeah.
Even if it was Bama, Clemson, and Oklahoma, I'd probably still put money on it because I would at least ride that.
Because you know, Bama and Clemson are good. It's going to be.
They'd have to mess up.
It's
royally.
Like the Fast and the Furious, for God's sakes. They don't stop making them.
Exactly.
Right? Until someone
does. They also take my money. So,
well, tomorrow we'll spend some time. Nick Saban is out publicly through the media telling Tua to get off his ass. So we'll have Nick Saban news tomorrow. We'll get in touch with Coach McBride. Tom Pender is going to be with us later in the week. Tom Pender's went to the College World Series a key piece to UConn baseball. And his nephew is the head coach of UConn baseball. So we'll talk a little CWS and college baseball. Tom Penders later in the week. Derek Peterson had a great story as he got caught up with Bill Moose on rivalries and the reality of where Nebraska's at rivalry-wise in the Big Ten. Fair to say, like the Iowa-Nebraska rivalry, that has grown into some mutual, here's a middle finger. I will say this about the overweight Iowa guy that took the baseball from the Ohio State kid. One, that's not the Iowa fan base as a whole. And it could have just easily have been a Ohio State fan who did that to a child. That's all I'm saying. Talk to you tomorrow at 4 with Hail Varsity. Thanks.